Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the credit crisis when we come back. You know, we Americans talk a lot about private business, and we use the terms like private ownership, private property, private rights. But we also use terms like stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, and licenses and permits in our pursuit of profit and gain in our business transactions. Well, listen to this. Did you know that stocks and negotiable instruments are the exact opposite to private ownership? That bonds are the exact opposite to private property, that public business licenses are the exact opposite to private rights, and permits are the exact opposite to private business? And why is it that we see small business being subjected to such a constant barrage of attacks by government at every level, from Washington to your hometown? And what can you do to protect your life, your liberty, and your property from these incessant attacks by OSHA, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, the Zoning and Planning and IRS, and the swarms of government agents and agencies who are eating out your substance? Well, you know, there's a lot that we can do, and the first step is to inform ourselves as to the legal alternatives that we have between public business and private business. Now, if you'd like to learn more about private business, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package, and let me tell you more about what it is that you're not supposed to know about this thing called private business. Remember, it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. And once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.com, georgegordon.com. Just click on the email and request your free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.com. All right, we've been talking about this thing of the credit crisis from the perspective of Franklin Sanders and the Money Changer. Franklin Sanders puts out a paper here called The Money Changer. If you'd like to get a copy, I'm reading from the October 2008 edition. The number to call, 888-218-9226. Again, that's 888-218-9226. And he said, who is the villain? Who is responsible for the credit crisis worldwide? And the answer is the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve. Three problems they've caused. Debt. That debt is a killer. And they've killed us with debt. And then there's a second factor here called interest or usury. Interest and usury. They've buried us in interest. And then the third factor is the unjust weights and balances, and also known as fiat currency. So we've got debt, interest, and paper money. And we got that from the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto. We've been practicing communism, and it comes with a price. Now, Franklin Sanders has been explaining that price. If you want somebody to blame, you want to know where it comes from, it starts with the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, and it played itself out in just a little under 100 years. Now, we went through one Great Depression back in the 1930s, and we're about to go through another Great Depression here in the early part of the 21st century. Now, he pointed out here, talking about the government has the means and the motive. And if we were to take a look here, that motive, means, and opportunity. Government has the motive, government has the means, and government has the opportunity to manipulate the price of gold and silver, and that's what they've been doing. And it's called the Plunge Protection Team. And then there's a government operation here, which is called the Exchange Stabilization Fund. It's an act passed back in 1934. It's a secret slush fund called the Exchange Stabilization Fund that was created specifically to manipulate the price of the dollar and gold. And the Exchange Stabilization Fund still exists, and the U.S. Treasury still uses it. And that's what they're doing. Now, there's a limit to how far this is going to go, because right now, the physical gold and price, or the physical gold and silver has a premium price far in excess of what the standard market spot price is. For instance, right now, the spot price of gold is around $750 an ounce. But the real price of gold is about $950 an ounce, just a little under its all-time high. That's for physical gold. You can buy paper all day long for $750. But if you want to take possession of the coin itself, then you're going to have to pay a pretty substantial premium. Now, a lot of times people will say to me, oh, my God, I don't want to pay that premium. Well, the real price or the real value of gold right now is $2,200 an ounce. When we compare 1980 prices with today, adjusted for inflation, $2,200 is the correct price and $140 for silver. So if you can buy silver for under $140 and gold for under $2,200, then you're doing all right, because that's where it's headed. That's where it's going. That's physical, silver and gold. And right now, you'll be paying about $13.50 for silver. Now, I know that last night the price was around $9.50, That was the spot price. But if you physically want to get physical possession of silver today, you're going to pay about $13.50. Now, there's some more to the story here that we hadn't completed last time. The paper silver price, as represented by the COMEX futures, and the physical silver price, as represented by the real metal trading hands, have decoupled. They've decoupled. That is, the paper market and the physical market over here are two different markets today. And it just came about in the last month or so. The lowest price for physical silver now stands about 20% above the paper price. So last night, silver was $9.50 times 0.20 is about $1.90. So you're going to have to pay an extra $2, or about $11. Now, I talked to a guy the other day up in Chicago. He had to pay $13.50 for silver. 100-ounce bar of silver was $1,350. And many forms sell for more than 50% premium, more than a 50% premium. So if you're talking about $10, silver is going to cost you $15. But what's $15 compared to $140, which is the correct price? See? Now, the reason that silver isn't at $140 is because you've got the plunge protection team and your United States Treasury over here manipulating the prices to hold them low. That's to give value to their paper currency. Now, this paper currency represents a 300-foot hole down the side of the ship. The ultimate end of this thing is that this great ship, America, is going to sink. Bottom line, it's going to sink. Now, the average Joe Sixpack, he's sitting on the sidelines out here saying, well, I think I've got confidence and faith in the American economy, and it'll bounce back. Because it always has. Well, that's true. It always has, but it isn't always going to. Now, that's a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale because we're dealing in a Ponzi scheme. That's like saying, well, Social Security has always paid off. That's true. It always has, but it isn't always going to. And that's because Social Security is a loser. It's a Ponzi scheme. Let me just run over Social Security and show you how this thing works. In 1935, the act was passed. In 1940, the first check was sent out. The lady that collected the first check paid in a total of $24 in premiums and collected over $20,000 in benefits. Now, that's the leading edge of a Ponzi scheme. That's a hell of a neat deal. That's like a chain letter buying whiskey. But over the years, by 1945, and keep in mind that in 1940, when this lady drew her first Social Security check, there were 80 people paying in for every one person drawing out. By 1945, it dropped to 45 to 1. By 1957, it was 16 to 1. By 1998 or 99, it dropped to 3.4 to 1. It is headed to 2 to 1. And they tell us that by about 2032, it'll be 1 to 1. Now, that's a classic Ponzi scheme. Has Social Security always paid off in the past? Yes. Is it paying off today? Yes. And is it always going to pay off in the future? No. Although you people are going to be paid every physical dollar that you've been promised. And the government will simply print it up and ship it out. They'll cut you a check. They don't care for how much. Now, when you take it down to Walmart and go to exchange it for shoes and goods and clothes and food, you're going to find out that it doesn't buy very much. And then that's where hyperinflation comes into the game. Now, certainly this is the result of huge new demand creating a supply shortage. But wait, if this new demand is strong enough to drive up prices for all physical silver items, then why doesn't it show at all in the future price? Well, now here's Franklin Sanders, and he says, I want to bear witness that after trading silver and gold for 28 years, these premiums are totally unprecedented. This has never happened before, never. And no matter how high premiums rose on certain items, talking about silver and gold items, there was always some other cheaper form of silver available, but that is not true today. So what does all of this mean? Well, it means simply that silver and gold will come roaring back once the crisis stench leaves the air, and they will receive additional rocket fuel as the hyperinflationary effects of the Fed's recent actions begin to take hold. So by all means, do not sell your silver and gold now. In fact, you ought to be buying more. In the last program, I mentioned the exchange rate, or the ratio, they call it. Right now, it's around 75 to 1. You should be buying silver now, because that silver, right now, for 1 ounce of gold, you get 75 ounces of silver. When it goes to 16 to 1, which is what it always has in the past, three times in the 20th century, it's 1919, 1942, and 1980, about every 30 years. And it's been 30 years. It's about to make its move, and when it makes its move, it'll go to 16 to 1. And you'll make about 4.5 to 1 profit in gold coin. Now, that's where the real profit's at. That's where we deal in the Ten Commandments. That's where we deal in property, as opposed to dealing in the Communist Manifesto and dealing in contracts over time for profit and gain. Now, in summary, Sanders says, overwhelmingly, most likely, the most likely outcome of the present crisis is a massive inflation or even hyperinflation in the U.S. dollar. If you have been trapped in crashing stocks, hold on for a recovering corrective wave and then sell. Set a target now for then. For example, you want to sell the Dow at 10,500. So if Sanders is expecting that there's going to be a rally after this crash, September to November, and right now, last time I saw, the stock market is in the mid-8,000s, and he expects it to go from 8,000 up to around 10. and that's based upon what happened in 1929. It went down 40% in 1929, then it rose 60%. And so you're not quite out of the game yet. You've taken some hits. You took some losses. You should have sold your stocks a couple of years ago. You never should have bought those stocks to start with. It was an unjust way to balance, and you're going to get burned. But instead of being totally destroyed, you can just take your lumps and then salvage what you can, and then convert that to gold and silver. The following inflation will drive silver and gold prices higher than we've ever seen them. So hold on to your silver and gold and add to your holdings. Now, the other day, there was a lady that had been talking to my wife here some over the past couple of years, and she had a house down in Texas, and my wife said, you know, sell that house, and the lady did. She had a 401k, and my wife said, well, you ought to sell that, get out of it, and she did. Her house down in Texas devaluated by 50%, and the 401k stocks devalued by about half, and so her 401k today, she said, would be selling for about 10 cents on the dollar. So this lady now sold out, and she got her money. She's got her money now in gold and silver. She's been able to protect. She's been able to hang on to her wealth. Now, most people haven't done that. A few have, but by and large, the average Joe six-pack has not preserved his wealth. And this is important. Whatever wealth you have to preserve as much as possible. And otherwise, you're going to go down with the ship. That's what the bottom line to that is. Now, let's talk about hyperinflation. Since a hyperinflation seems the most likely outcome of the present inflation, how does one survive under a hyperinflation? So first of all, what is it? Well, generally, economists say that hyperinflation exists when the prices rise more than 10% a month. So at a 10% monthly pace, prices in 12 months will go from 100 to 285. So the gasoline that you bought in January at $4 a gallon will cost $11.41 a gallon in December. However, some hyperinflations in this century have risen at rates of 50,000 a month. That's 50,000% a month, like the one presently devastating Zimbabwe. In hyperinflation, prices often rise faster than the currency is actually depreciating. And that's because people are discounting the expected fall in the currency's value faster than it's being printed. So you must understand how to do business in hyperinflation or you will never survive. All right, now let me give you a little example here. You have to have some liquidity, you know, something to buy gas and pay the power bill with. So what I do is I don't keep paper money because that's what they're going to change. I keep clad coin. And so if you take one of these little ammunition boxes, you know, one of these boxes about 6 inches by 12 inches by 8 inches high, that thing will easily hold $1,500. In fact, it might hold as much as $2,000. Holds 11. Let me just figure it out for you. It's 11 times 22. It's 242 times 10. It'll almost hold $2,500. That's $2,420. But it'll hold about $2,000. Now, if you take one of those ammo cans and you fill it up with quarters, just ordinary clad quarters, you'll have about $2,000. And you hang on to that because when the banks close, one of these days when there's an emergency, the president will close all the banks like Roosevelt did. And they may be closed for a week or 2 weeks or, maybe 6 weeks. And the question arises, well, what are you going to use for money for 6 weeks? Your checks are no good. Credit cards won't work. So you got to have a little cash on hand. But keep in mind that if you're losing 10% per annum, your $2,000 that you've got is going to lose $200 worth of purchasing power in 1 year. So you're going to lose 10% of that. So the value of your money, the purchasing power, goes down. A guy in Germany who bought a life insurance policy in 1903. In 1923, I think it was a 20,000 mark policy, and a mark was worth about 50 cents, so it was about $10,000. He was able to buy one loaf of bread with the proceeds of the policy in 1923. So here's a 20,000 marks. That's about $10,000 depreciates in 20 years to one loaf of bread. Now that's where we're headed. So you people on Social Security are going to take it in the shorts. If that's what you're relying upon for your retirement, for your income, boy, are you going to have a tough road to hoe. Now, if you're a baby boomer and you're thinking about retirement, put it out of your mind. Retirement's the last thing you want to consider. You just plan right on working. And you want to work and you want to save. And you want to save whatever it is that you can in something that's not going to lose its value. And dollars are losing their value. And the only reason I keep a can of quarters over here is so that I can have access to immediate liquidity in an emergency. But I'm losing my shirt. What I really want to do is to store that money in gold and silver coin, which holds its value and appreciates. Now, gold and silver are both undervalued by at least, in the case of gold here, it should be at $2,200, and it's at about $750. It should be three times higher. And silver, which should be at about $140, is only at $10. So it's 14 times lower than its real value. And those are two valuable pieces of merchandise to buy. A little later on, I mentioned here a couple of programs back, diesel fuel and gasoline. As the prices go down, you want to stock up. Now, with diesel, you can keep a four-year supply, but don't try it with gasoline because gasoline goes bad in about 1 year or sometimes less. Now, we're talking about how to survive this hyperinflation. Now, here's the first rule of survival. Time eats money, and the longer you hold on to money, the more you lose. So you want to minimize your cash holdings. You want to manage your cash, manage your cash, manage your cash, or hyperinflation will destroy you. You may even have to convert your cash frequently, maybe even daily, to another currency, namely gold and silver, to prepare and be prepared to do business in currencies other than the U.S. dollar. And you must be long on goods and short on money. Goods, good. Money, bad. Minimize your cash holdings by turning your cash into inventory, or if you're manufacturing, into raw materials. Base sales prices on anticipated replacement cost, never on acquisition cost. In your accounting, you must use the next in, first out. Next in, first out. Not the last in, first out. Otherwise, you'll be selling for less than your replacement cost. And your purchasing department becomes much more important, not only for buying at the right price, but being able to buy at all. Shortages will erupt everywhere. In Zimbabwe today, with hyperinflation, they have shortages of everything. Hyperinflation, shortages of everything. Deflation, shortage of money, but there's no shortage of goods. Now let's tuck this one away in our hearts. There's enough money, well, I don't know about today, but there was back in July, enough money here in the United States that if all of us Americans walked into our local stores, could be Target or Kmart or Walmart or wherever, and we simply went in and spent all of our available cash, and we all did it at the same time, we'd get 2 cents on the dollar. Did that one sink in yet? 2 cents on the dollar. That's all that's available in the store. And that's how much excess money there is out here. Now, we practice a thing here called just-in-time delivery. That's good for business. It's bad for us. And that's because when you go into your Walmart store, pay attention. Look at the shelf, and it's faced. And there's nothing behind it. It's just right out here in the front. If they sell 6 jars of mayonnaise a day, that's all they order in, 6 jars a day. And that's what they put out on the shelf. Because tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, the truck will come in, and we will restock the shelves. That's good for business. But it's bad for the goods on the shelf because there isn't very much in the pipeline. So when we're talking about shoes in the pipeline, there's not much there. I took a recording machine into our local repairman, had a broken switch in it. And he's had it now for 3 months. And he's waiting for a switch, a button, that has to come from China. The machine was made in China. So tuck that one away in your heart. Shoes come from China. And when these shoes dry up in the stores, there isn't going to be anything for you to buy. And that's what hyperinflation does. Hyperinflation now drives all of the goods out of the stores. People will take their worthless money and convert it to any and everything. So they convert it to goods. And you can only get 2 cents on the dollar. That's all that's available. So take your dollars today and collect 100 cents on the dollar. Get rid of your dollars and put that into goods. Not just any goods, but the goods that you're going to be using over the next 4 years. So you wives and mothers, be thinking about your children. And if you want to stretch your dollars, don't buy your stuff new at Walmart. Go into the thrift stores like St. Vincent de Paul and Goodwill and Salvation Army. There's a lot of them. And you can buy shoes today for $2 a pair. You can buy shirts for $2. You can buy pants and all kinds of clothes and all kinds of things dirt cheap. You know, so you get off your high horse and stop thinking about your malls and a Jordache designer jeans, and let's concentrate on what are you going to put on your children 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and 4 years down the line. Remember, those kids are getting bigger every year. And as they grow, you have to have bigger and bigger clothes. When I was a youngster back in the Depression years, it was called a hand-me-down. The shirts that I wore were the shirts that came from some bigger kid, which then went to a smaller kid, and then went down to a little kid like me. So by the time this thing had gone through about 3 or 4 owners over here, by the time it got down to me, it was practically a rag. And that's what we wore. We wore a lot of rags. Now, minimize your exposure to inflation. Keep your cash to an absolute minimum and prefer inventory to cash. No credit, no accounts receivable, and cut off all the slow payers. You don't do business in credit, period. Cash. No accounts receivable. I don't have anybody owing me money. And cut off slow payers. Offer discounts for upfront payers. And so what you do, I used to finance my business this way. I had customers that I'd offer 10% discount for cash in advance. And if you paid me within 10 days, you got your 5% discount. 10% up front, 5% within 10 days, regular price if it took you 30 days to pay. If you don't pay at the end of 30 days, I cut off your credit. Now, at some point, you can expect our friends in government to enact wage and price controls to pile on hardships. So now what are you going to do? How do you get around these wage and price controls? What about wages? How do you protect your employees? How will you protect your business and profit margins? You have to think through all of this in advance. Back in 1971, that's what Richard Nixon did. He put on wage and price controls. You people have rent controls in New York City to this day, and that's why you have a shortage and high prices in housing. Wage and price controls, they don't work in an economical format. It works in a political format. It's great politics. It buys a lot of votes. But economically, it's a killer. And so this is what ultimately ushers in a black market. Now, take a look at shortages. Low margin, highly competitive items quickly disappear, and as do products whose regulated price is set below production cost. Wage and price controls will worsen the shortages. Look for shortages of basic foods and goods. Locate and cultivate, that is, make good friends with sources before you need them. As hyperinflation progresses, more and more companies will be going out of business. Have you identified sources for what your business will need? Feed if you're a farmer, because as your suppliers go out of business, they can't make it. Wage and price controls will drive a lot of them out. So if you're going to survive, you're going to survive in the black market. Have you thought about how you're going to conduct your black market business? All right, so tuck this away in your heart. Remember, this is the October issue of The Money Changer in October 2008. The phone number is 888-218-9226. I don't get paid a dime from Franklin Sanders for promoting his paper. The reason I do it is because every month Franklin comes out with some new, neat, little innovation that will make money for you. He makes money for me, I'm passing it on to you. Now, he pointed out here in the stock market, where will the stock market land? And the stock market is probably going to go down to around 4,000. It could go lower than that. I don't know how much lower. But I expect that the stock market is going to go to at least 4,000. It's at 8,500 today. Sanders thinks it'll go up to 10,000, and that'll be a, what they call a dead cat bounce. And then it's going to go down to a low. Now, we don't know where this low is going to be. In 1932, it hit a low of 89% below its high, which was 352 in 1929. If it does the same thing again, the stock market will go down to about 1,500. So if you've got stocks now, this will be your last chance to unload them so that you can take something out of them. So you got stocks right now, hang on for a little longer here. He thinks they're going to go up to 10,000. And I would say if they drop below 8,000, I'd dump them. But if I had stocks right now, I'd hang on and gamble that they're going to go up to 9. It was at 8,900 the other day. It almost hit 9,000. And I think the plunge protection team will come in and save your bacon. And when it does, they're going to be saving their own bacon. They're going to jack the stock market up, unload whatever they've got left, and then convert that to gold and silver. Citigroup the other day said they thought gold was going to 2,000 an ounce in 2009. Now, that doesn't mean that you're making a big profit. When the purchasing power of the dollar goes down from all these trillions of dollars of added liquidity that the Fed is pumping into the system, if you can just maintain your purchasing power, you'll be doing fine. You can forget about making profits in gold and silver, but it will maintain your purchasing power. And right now, you're getting burned and eaten alive on the loss of your purchasing power. And if you've been buying stocks and bonds over the last 40, 50 years, you've been a dead loser. You've been losing purchasing power from the day that you started investing in stocks and bonds. And let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or georgegordon.com. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. So be sure to order yours by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations, however, that we do give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate and endorse us. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. But these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, they're mine and they're mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views or the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or the staff of this local radio station or this radio network. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then go to our website, georgegordon.org or georgegordon.com, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, let me give you the name and number here again. This is called The Money Changer. Who is the villain? And I just covered a second article here, How Do I Survive a Hyperinflation? And hyperinflation is what we're betting on because that's what Bernanke and Paulson said they're going to give us. And I believe them. I think that if you can't trust your Federal Reserve Chairman, who can you trust? And this is put out by Franklin Sanders. It's called The Money Changer. It's the October 2008 issue. And the number to call to get one is 888. That's toll free, 888-218-9226. Again, that's 888-218-9226. Now, he's got an article in here that covers most of what I just showed you here in The Villain. It's an article called Where Will the Stock Market Land? And he gives you all the numbers, and he says, again, that the stock market in 1929 lost about, what was it here? He said, I think it was 40%. After November of 1929, the Dow climbed in 1930, in April of 1930, it reached 294. So it recovered 60%. So it lost 43% going down. Then it regained 60% of that loss. And so he's sitting here saying, well, he expects it to do the same thing. Now, I noticed here that it went down to about 7,000. You know, it was up around 10, 11, and went down to about 7. And now there may be a dead cat bounce, and if there is, take advantage of it. And you can read all about it here in The Money Changer. Again, that number is 888-218-9226. Once more, that's 888-218-9226. Now, I'm sure that he's got a couple of more issues that have been put out since then. I wanted to hit this October issue because he's got two or three good articles in here about here's how you survive hyperinflation, where will the stock market land, and who is the villain. He identified the villain as the Federal Reserve, and he's got a section in here on the Dow in gold dollars. If you've been investing in stocks over the last 7 or 8 years, you've already lost 75% of your purchasing power. Now, how do you like that? Now, he's got an article in here on a swap possibility. It says, most investors don't understand spread trading and swapping, but they can be extremely profitable. And already in three trades, our gold-silver swapping strategy has brought our customers gains of 50 to 75%. Currently, all forms of physical silver are selling at huge premiums, even at wholesale. And if we happen to be holding that high premium silver, that translates into an opportunity. All right, now let me point this out. The process is called arbitrage. And Sanders has a book on this arbitrage. And right now is the greatest time in the history. Well, I wouldn't say the greatest time in history. 1942, it had hit 100 to 1 or 102 to 1. So there have been some times when the spread was greater than the 75 that it is now. But right now, silver-gold spread is about 75. That is, 75 ounces of gold buys 1 ounce, 75 ounces of silver buys 1 ounce of gold, or 1 ounce of gold buys 75 ounces of silver. That's a high spread. The correct spread is 16 to 1. So if you take advantage of that now by buying silver, you can trade the silver for 4.5 ounces of gold. That same 75 ounces of silver that costs you 1 ounce of gold today, you can trade for 4.5 ounces of gold when it goes to 16 to 1. Now that's a profit opportunity. Take advantage of it. It's called arbitrage. And Sanders does it every 10 points, and it goes from 75 to 65, 55, 45, 35. They make their swaps, which is good for Sanders because he's a broker and he gets his commission every time. I'm not interested in paying all those commissions and spending all that time, effort, and energy, so I'm just going to wait until I hit 16. Just be patient. Just sit back and relax. When I hit 16, that's when you make your trade and go into gold. Then you hang on to the gold until it goes back up to 60 to 1. Now, I did one here not too long ago. I took some gold in, an ounce of gold in, and I bought 60 ounces of silver, 60 to 1. And that was when silver was valued at about $15 an ounce, as I recall. Now the price of silver has gone down to $10. Now, if you're a conventional pundit, you're going to sit there and laugh and say, ha, 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 Gordon, you lost a third on your investment. I didn't lose a dime. Not a dime. Now sit back and pay attention here. Get your pencil out and sharpen it, both ends. And if you're going to value this in dollars, then you're one of the fools that's going to get taken to the cleaners. Those of us that practice arbitrage do not value gold and silver in dollars. We value it in ounces. Ounces of gold or ounces of silver. That's the Ten Commandment model. That's the way God designed the program, to take advantage of those that want to value it in dollars. You value it in dollars, I'll take advantage of you. Now, here's the way this game is played. I took my ounce of gold and I went into Charlie and I put it on the counter. He gave me 60 ounces of silver. And I put the silver over here in a pile. I'm waiting for it to go to 16 to 1. When it goes to 16 to 1, I'll take the 60 ounces back and put it on the counter, and Charlie will give me 3.75 ounces of gold. My 1 ounce of gold will multiply to 3.75 ounces. Can you follow that? Okay, that's called arbitrage. So the next time somebody tells you that there's no money to be made in gold and silver because it doesn't draw interest or usury, you're talking to a banker. That's just nonsense. In the 20th century, had you practiced arbitrage from 1900 to 2000, you would have made 10% per year compounded for 100 years. Now, that was the profit margin that you would have made. Now, I say that that's a hell of a lot better than stocks, which from 1960 to 2000 lost 38%. It's a hell of a lot better than your stocks that lost 75% of your purchasing power between 2000 and 2007. Now, remember, you heard it here first. That's called the Ten Commandments Economic Model. And when we practiced that Ten Commandments Economic Model in America, we became the wealthiest, most powerful, prosperous, industrial, military, and political power in the world. And we did it in 113 years. Then we got off onto communism. About 1933, we got into it hot and heavy. By 1950, we were well on the road. Between 1950 and 2000, we Americans have lost just about everything that we've got. In 1950, we were the leading economic power in the world. We were the dominant economic power in the 15 leading economic indicators of industrial production. We produced more steel and iron and copper and telephones and automobiles and airplanes and consumed more than anybody else in the world. Today, we're not number one in any of those 15 economic indicators. We were number one in 1950 in all 15, and today we're not number one in any of those 15. Now, so much for communism versus the Ten Commandments. Now, you can practice whatever you want, but I'm here to tell you, the Ten Commandment model is superior in every regard. It has always paid off in spades. And that's what this arbitrage is all about. And the only guy that I know of that's ever taken the time to write a book on arbitrage is this guy, Franklin Sanders. Now, people have been practicing arbitrage for thousands of years. It's nothing new. You know, buying stocks is what we used to call the yen carry trade. That's where you go to Japan and you borrow yen, and then you come back in the dollar market and convert it to dollars, and you get more dollars when you trade the dollars back to yen than you started off with. That's a profit. It's called the yen carry trade. So it's an arbitrage practice. But you can practice that, you know, right there in your own living room. And then Franklin Sanders has the book. I'm the only guy that I know of that's ever taken the time to write a book. It's called How Silver Will Outperform Gold by 400%. He's exactly right. I've been using it for years. It's always worked for me, and I'm pretty sure that it'll work for you. I'm one of the few guys around that's not complaining. I'm not complaining about Bernanke and the Federal Reserve. I'm not complaining about Paulson and the Treasury. I made more money than Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler last year combined. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining about the credit crisis. I'm not complaining about the upcoming depression. Everything's going great, and I intend to profit from it. And I intend to teach you how to profit from it if you want to learn. And so why don't you call us here at the law school and ask for our free compact disc package. It didn't cost you anything. Our schools may not be for you. You may not belong here in this school. And so to find out whether or not you've got the right stuff, why don't you get our free compact disc package and find out. You know, take a look at it. It didn't cost you anything. And if it's for you, then let's get after it. And if it isn't for you, then let it pass. All right, so I'm going to the Silver Lining Revival, Reviving Local Economies and Restoring Sound Money in Your Local Areas, another article here in the Money Changer. That's the October Money Changer, October 2008. I'll give you that telephone number one more time, then I'm going to change subjects here on you. The number is 888-218-9226. And once more, 888, that's toll-free, 888-218-9226. I imagine Sanders has probably got a... I don't know. I don't see a web page here, and I don't see an email address. Oh, he's got a fax number, though. Oh, yeah, here's email. Here's email. And you can go to www.the-moneychanger.com. How do you like that? www.the-moneychanger.com. God, he's got a long email address. It's franklin@the-moneychanger.com. All right, now that's Franklin Sanders. All right, Frank, now I pitched your paper. Now, let me pull you you on to another one. I subscribe to three that I really like. The second one here is called The Privateer. Then the third one is called The International Forecaster. And the reason I'm saving The International Forecaster till last is because it's really the best one of the three. Sorry to say that, Franklin. Sorry to say that, William Buckler. But now all three of these guys have something to offer that nobody else offers. Franklin Sanders over here is a great strategist when it comes to arbitrage. He's got to be number one. Now, the second guy over here, his name is William A.M. Buckler. He writes a paper in an economics newsletter called The Privateer. Comes out of Australia. Now, this guy is the best guy to subscribe to if you're new. If you have never in your lifetime ever subscribed to an economics newsletter, you want to start with The Privateer, because this guy starts off by educating his subscribers. Yet, if you're a truck driver or a housewife and you don't understand economics, The Privateer is the paper for you, because he explains it in layman's language. He is, without a doubt, a first-rate teacher, an economics teacher. Sanders over here is an economist, and he uses phrases and terms that sometimes go a little over your head. And the other guy over here that writes The International Forecaster, his name is Bob Chapman. And Chapman is always over your head. I mean, you've got to really know something in order to get the most out of The International Forecaster, although much of it is written, I'd say half or more is written in layman's language, which he's telling you, here's where the bear does it and here's where the rubber meets the road. When you get to some of the technical applications, that'll kind of boggle your mind, but you can learn from Bill Buckler here what these terms and what these phrases mean, and he'll explain them. Now, The Privateer, The International Forecaster, and The Money Changer all have one common denominator, and they're all in agreement. The American economy is toast. This thing is going right down the crapper, and it's in free fall today, and next year is going to be worse than 2008. So we haven't even begun to start on the road to the Great Depression yet. And the last time, it took 3.5 years to hit the bottom. And so I wouldn't be surprised by what it takes 3.5 years to hit the bottom. That's a long time, 3.5 years. Obama will be just about to the end of his first term by the time we reach the bottom. And boy, is it going to be a bad ride on the bottom, because they're going to keep it on the bottom for several years after that. It will ultimately end up in war. World War III will come out of this. And that's what happened the last time. War. It happened the last time. More than likely, that's what's coming again. Now, The Privateer starts off by saying the worldwide industrial shutdown. That's quite a term. There is underway right now today a worldwide industrial shutdown. We're not talking recession here. We're talking about a total shutdown. That's going to be on a scale, on a magnitude that defies description. And then he's got some facts and figures to back it up. So let's get started on this. He says the international economic data put out over the past 2 weeks has been awe-inspiring. Not only is U.S. industry contracting at the fastest pace in 26 years, but factory indices from Europe, Russia, China, Latin America, and South Africa showed record shrinkages in reports released on December 1st. This is a worldwide industrial shutdown of record-making proportions that outstrip even the Great Depression of the 1930s. In fact, we're starting to get numbers now to compare with the Depression era. For instance, take commodities. How much did the prices of commodities fall during the Depression in the 1930s? And the answer was 43%. How much have commodities dropped in this Depression so far? And the answer is 60.1% so far. And they're still in free fall. No bottoms. We haven't got a clue as to where copper is going to end up. It was at $3.20. It's at $1.61 today, and it's still dropping. And we have no idea if it's going back to 80 cents, which is where it started in 2000, or whether it's going below 80 cents. And so tuck that one away. Paragraph 2, he says, the world's factories are becoming silent. U.S. manufacturing activity contracted for the fourth consecutive month, according to a survey of corporate purchasing managers released on December the 1st by the Institute for Supply Management. The November Institute index fell to 36%, the lowest reading since May of 1982. In the 15-nation Eurozone, manufacturing contracted by the most on record in November. The EU Purchasing Managers Index fell to 35 from 41, and the indices for Poland, Hungary, Sweden, and the Czech Republic showed some of the steepest ever declines in history as recession struck their main export markets. South African manufacturing shrank at the fastest pace in the past 9 years. Manufacturing in China fell by the most on record in November, as reported by the China Federation of Logistics and Purchasing. Its Purchasing Managers Index fell to a seasonally adjusted 38 from 44, and Southeast Asia followed in the rout. Japan's exports fell 7.7% on the year in October, the biggest drop since December of 2001, according to the Ministry of Finance. Now, that's the second paragraph. Hell, we can all understand that. There isn't anything in here that a truck driver couldn't grasp. Now, how is that going to impact upon you? Well, you're a truck driver, and you're driving your load down the road. And you depend upon those loads in order to have a job. And those loads are being contracted. There's less and less of those loads to be hauling. And so as there's fewer and fewer loads, there's going to be less and less work. That means there's going to be more and more layoffs. So get ready for it. Now, in this issue of the privateer, he points out that the unemployment rate today is at 15%. You got that here in the U.S., the unemployment rate, 15%. Now, that isn't what they're admitting to, because you see, if you drew your 26 weeks of rocking chair, and you didn't find a job in that 26 weeks, then they just drop you from the rolls. They do not count you as unemployed. You're not even being counted. They're only counting people that are actually drawing their unemployment benefits. So it comes in three classes here. You got people that are currently drawing unemployment, and you got people who were drawing unemployment, but they used it all up and they still haven't found a job. And then you've got those that are temporary or part-time workers who would like to work more hours or would like to have a full-time job and they don't have it. And so in those three categories there, you have 15%. Now, in the Great Depression back in the 1930s, the unemployment rate reached 27% nationwide. 25% is the common denominator. We're at 15% in climbing. Last month, November, saw 500,000 jobs wiped out. 2009 is going to be worse than 2008. And you could probably see the unemployment rate, that is the official rate, that is the official lying numbers that come out of the Department of Labor, hit 15% in 2009. That means that the unemployment rate will really be somewhere up around double that, around 30%. In fact, the privateer is predicting about 35% unemployment here in the United States. How do you like that? Hey, we'll have to take that up next time, and I'll give you the name and number for the privateer so that you can subscribe if you so desire, or get a copy of it to see whether or not I can keep my lies straight. Meanwhile, let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, there's the signal. It says our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.